All right, let's get to it. Wednesday is upon us. That song, by the way, Dave, I'll never not be uncomfortable listening to that. Greg just goes to a very dark place when he hits those.
Oh, Sunday.
Yeah, it sounds like his soul is leaving his body. It's absolutely terrifying. All right. Can we start with breaking news? Is that possible?
Yeah.
I think we have it. Lions ain't going to go out and get nobody. I want to know if what they did, Rico, is in any way symbolic or signifies that they will not be going out and making a major acquisition. Their response to Aiden Hutchinson getting hurt was 4 years and $97 million to another one of their guys. And I'm fine with it. That's cool. Whatever. You got a Lee McNeil. Great. Eventually the money runs out, right?
Yeah.
Do you believe this hurts their ability to go out? Or are they just telling you, we don't care what you poors want us to do. We're smarter than you. We're going to draft, develop, and sign our own people. We don't do the trades.
I think it's the latter. I think it is, we believe in our guys. We're going to take care of our guys. It's a little bit of both. Because it was weird that they came out with that extension yesterday, the timing of it. It just seemed like, oh, okay, did you have to do that right now? But, yeah. If you really take away from what you want, and you look at what the GMs and the presidents of the different teams around here actually do in their history, you see the patterns, and you see, and it's like how we broke through the whole RAS score when it came to the draft. Like, that's who they're probably going to go after. And then sure enough, it started being those guys that were on that high RAS score. For this tells me we're going to go, we're going to get some people off of a practice squad, and we'll find some people. And if we got to do what A.J. Hinch did with his pitchings, we'll do that with this defensive line. We're okay.
I'm with Rico on it. I don't agree with it, but it's not about what we agree with. It's about what's reality. I mean, we can have all the fun we want. I could yell, scream, you know, pound the desk, make this phone call, do that. Doesn't make a damn bit of difference in the world, guys. The reality is, I think what Dan Campbell said on our airwaves is true. Now, the question is, do you believe they're still Super Bowl good? I don't. I said you were winning it before the season. You cannot lose your version of Nick Bosa, your version of Chris Jones, your version of pick a guy. I don't care. I'm sorry, but no, you're not going to sign some scrub from Cincy's practice squad. Don't bleep on my head and tell me it's raining.
I think the only caveat to that, and this is what a lot of Lions fans who want to see a move, you don't want to see. If you go into Minnesota, and Minnesota, you have no pass rush whatsoever, and Sam Darnold lights this team up, there is now a sense of urgency. There is now, okay, guess what? We got to make some moves. We got to go and get somebody because that's Minnesota, and now they're still undefeated, and they got a game up on us.
Let's do it one better. You go to Minnesota this weekend. Then you're going to go and take on the Titans, right? You come home, take on the Titans. Do you know who you play 48 hours for the trade deadline?
Is it Green Bay?
In Lambeau.
Uh-huh.
Hey, go ahead. Lose two of the next three. That'll test your confidence. Now, if they win the next two, it makes you feel a little bit better. It doesn't change how I feel ultimately is that in the seminal moments of your season, you're going to need a play. You're going to need your difference maker. And you've lost both defensive ends. But I want to know, do you believe the signing of a Lee McNeil right now, like Rico said? I mean, October 15th, out of ether. We're just going to go ahead and hand out $100 million. You believe that signifies that the dream is dead. They're not going to make a big move at the deadline for a pass rusher, just like they didn't last year. 248-539-9797. David, you have your fashion glasses on. Please, all ears. Do you believe there's any correlation between the two things?
I do. And I was shocked last night when I saw that news come across that Aleem McNeil got an extension, because I find it odd that the pairing of Aleem McNeil and Hutch, you can see that, you know, what they do for each other. And I was thinking, why don't you just want to see what Aleem McNeil is without Hutch to see if he's worth the money? In my mind, that's what I'm thinking. But then you look at it and you say, you know what? They just believe that he can do it. They believe that he can be the man without Hutch there, and so they're paying him. And it seems a bit of arrogance to me from Brad Holmes, it feels this way that he's saying, I got this guy. I drafted this guy. I'm going to pay the guy. I brought him in. This is all on me. He's the guy.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know, man. You need to go outside. And every time, you don't need to pay all your players either. Every player does not need to be paid by you. Sometimes you focus on the guys you want to keep and you let some go.
It does seem that way, that anybody that was on that team last year that got to the NFC Championship game, you will get your big payday. You will get your money. Now, I do like how they're doing this because they're in control. They're not allowing their guys to go out there and do the holdouts. We're going to break this team. We're going to go get all of this stuff. But this didn't seem necessary. Now, if you're a Lee McNeil, of course you think it's necessary. Yeah. But I don't think that you had to make this move, especially, Mike, with you may have to go out there and you may have to pay some money. You may have to sweeten the deal because what if Cleveland is on that fire sale? I mean, a lot of people were like, man, come on, man, Myles Garrett. But as the days went on, you start thinking, huh. And then when Amari Cooper left, that's why I was like, hey, we got some breaking news. They may be in. You may have to use some of that money. And if you had to choose between the two, I think you would rather see it go to a Myles Garrett.
The thing they're doing that is smart, and I give them full credit for it, is they're kind of in front of the market on a lot of these signings. I mean, think about it. If you waited till the offseason, you're probably paying Aleem closer to 110 or 115 over four. You know, if you waited on Sewell, if you, you know, again.
Amon Ra, yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of ahead of the market, but I'm with you guys. Like, all right, Kirby Joseph, come on down. You know he's about to get a bag. Aiden was set to get a bag. Now the injury, to me, it complicates things. But, look, that's up to their doctors. I'm not an expert there. I just would like to see him come back, be the same player, and then I pay you. But,
yeah, well, yeah. If I was Brad Holmes, I can't just give you the good old, you was my guy. I need to see if you could walk.
Yeah, and again, because I already see the idiocy coming through on the phone lines, I'm not saying Hutch getting hurt spurned the McNeil thing. I'm saying by doing the McNeil thing, does it mean they're not replacing Hutch? Please, people. Please. Sweet Jesus. David, give us a few ticket texts. We'll get to the people in a second.
Dan told y'all yesterday they're looking for role players. That is Perry from Detroit.
Great, Perry. Go play the Powerball. Stop wasting my time.
Hutch went down and the defense didn't miss a beat. Relax until they give you a reason to panic.
Hutch went down and the defense didn't miss a beat in a game they were up 30 on against a team that quit. Surely you can't be this stupid. Today's not the day, okay? If this is what we're getting, just log out of the ticket text.
For Marcus, I think the Aleem McNeil signing told me they wanted to get their guys taken care of. I believe they still make a move, though.
Listen, that's up to you guys. I mean, a move and the move are two different things. Yeah, they'll go sign somebody's practice squad player. And maybe we're here in 3 weeks, and I don't know, Rico, maybe they're giving up a fifth-round pick and a dog biscuit for Jadeveon Clowney or something. It's possible. But I think we all wanted more, and therefore we'll be vilified in this town, because if you want more, you're the devil.
You want more, Mike, because we just brought it up. Two of your next three games, not only in the division, on the road, and these are teams you don't want to be looking up at.
How about three of your next four? Would you value going to Houston?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so, and again, that would be after the deadline. But look, three of your next four, you're facing some pretty good teams. I'm interested. Then you do get a reprieve. You're going to play the Jags and Colts. Both those teams are ass. I just would like to know if you believe, by signing Aleem, they're telling you something. And if you don't, that's fine too. But you can just miss me with this idea of minimizing Hutchinson. You can just take it to a different radio show. I won't hear it. I'm not going to disrespect the guy. The guy had 7.5 sacks. The guy was playing the best football of his career.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was finally ascending into not local hometown hero, but like actual NFL star.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you vaporize him and you want to hit me with the, no big deal. Man, miss me with it. Just go to a different day part.
No, he was on his way to being up there with Garrett and both. Like, he was going to be in contention, or if not, Mike, he was the lead person to be the defensive player of the year. Like, great. He was getting it done. And I don't want to hear, it was backup tackles. That's not his job. No. His job is to go and get the quarterback. Whoever you stick in front of him, double team, triple team, didn't matter. He was getting pressure. He was hitting home. And then all of a sudden, it just was gone.
Just if you like power ranked this team out, and I said, all right, Rico, name the top five Lions, your top five players. Is Aiden one of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Then don't tell me it doesn't hurt. Don't take a fourth quarter where Dallas was already thinking about the post-game meal. I mean, my goodness, people. Come on now. Tell you what, if losing Hutch doesn't matter, relax, cool. Well, I guess your rotation's fine when Scooble blows out, right? Seriously. I mean, do you understand how stupid some of you sound? Sweet Jesus, the guy's a superstar. It's okay to say it hurts. It's okay to say you have some doubts.
See, I don't think it's stupidity. I think it's more of a coping mechanism. It's more of denial.
It's copium.
It's you don't want to say how bad it is, so you just kind of, well, you know, maybe it's not as bad as we think it's going to be.
The other thing I do, Rico, and maybe it's wrong, I don't believe that you will be as healthy today, like as healthy in December as you are today. It's about what's eroding around you. Like, I love how nobody even brings up Marcus Davenport. Nobody. Now you're down the two guys you intended on being your starting defensive ends. What's your answer?
Mm-hmm.
If Josh Pascal were so sweet, you don't bring in Marcus Davenport. Like, I don't doubt what you have on the interior, and I like that some of these guys can flash and Onzerike can move around a little bit. That's all well and good. Yes, we can blitz more. Guys, the reality is you just lost the only guy on this football team that will draw a double team of every snap this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it matters. I think by paying McNeil, it kind of gives you a window into who they are and what they're doing. And deviation from that, I don't have evidence of it. So can I hope for different? Sure. But what the hell is hope? Jesus. Here, you can hope you hit the lottery every damn day. You're not going to hit it.
No, you're right. They had two options, and I know last year was last year. They had two ways to go. They could have gone the Chase Young route. They could have went the Montez Sweat route, and they decided, you know what? We're good. We stood pat. It just makes me wonder, like, man, if you would have pulled the trigger and got Sweat here.
Oh, I know.
You'd be feeling a whole lot better.
But what they'll tell you is the $100 million that they gave to Sweat, well, then we couldn't pay McNeil. I'm with you. I don't think the cap is real to a point, but they are steadfast about draft, develop, sign their own people. That's just their thing. And look, Kirby Joseph's going to be due. How much you want to bet Kirby gets back?
Yeah.
Okay. And Aiden, look, I would wait until he's functional again just to make sure you're the same guy. Your leg did just explode underneath you. But Aiden's going to get it's incalculable. I can't even keep up with the contracts. I mean, would you say Aiden's going to get 32 a year? Does that sound right?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe about 124 a year. Yeah. Yeah, something around there.
So, yeah. 248-539-9797. All right, we will get with your phone calls. We'll get the ticket texts as well. 97.1. All right, straight to the people. Go to Joe. He's up next on the ticket. Joe, what's going on a Wednesday? How are you?
I'm all right, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I think Brad Holmes is going to make a huge trade. I think the evidence is there that he's done large trades in the past, just not at the deadline. He's moved up in drafts before, moving around first-round picks. In the offseason, we got Reeder, we got Carlton Davis. And if you look at Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, what they've said throughout the offseason is this is the year. All I see is Super Bowl. They continue to say that. And they know how big of a loss Hutchinson is. They know that he's the only guy that can get pressure, you know. And so what I think is it's truly F them picks mode at this point for these guys. They're going to get rid of a first-round pick. I don't know if it's going to be Hendrickson or Garrett or, you know, Crosby's a bit of a reach, but they're going to get one or even two guys, in my opinion. He's shown the ability to be aggressive. Dan Campbell's not going to come on the radio and say, oh, you know, we're looking to trade picks for a big edge. He's going to him and haw and say, oh, we're going to look at options. And if you look at Sports Illustrated, like 30 minutes ago, they had a report that said we are kicking the tires on Hassan Reddick. And so I don't know. I just have a feeling they're full Super Bowl mode. Last year they were win the division. This year they're trying to go for it. And they know that they can't win it without Aiden or an elite edge. And
all right, well,
you know,
Joe, hold on. Hold on a sec. Hold that thought, because David, you have news that adds to what Joe said.
Yeah, I do have news. Jeremy Fowler from ESPN did report, and I guess in a mailbag, he said Hassan Reddick would be an obvious player for the Lions to acquire about, and I've been told they have reached out.
The problem is going to be, fellas, you got to give him a contract. He doesn't come with one. Mm-hmm. He's also a guy who's been so steadfast or delusional, he's lost north of $5 million in fines. And he was so irreparably stubborn, his own agents fired him. Not the other way around. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Right.
I don't know, man.
I'm not saying it has to be Reddick. What I'm saying is they're getting aggressive. It's F them picks mode. They know that this is the window for a Super Bowl. So they were working on the Aleem thing since the offseason. Okay, so that doesn't change anything for me. They already knew for a while they were going to extend him and pay him big money. That's, you know, one of their guys, and he's good. I have no problem with it. It's just I feel like they're going to make a big trade. They might give out a contract, and then they're going to have to figure out the rest of it later. I feel like that's the mode that they're in.
Well, Brad, I hope that's the
he's
mode.
He's been aggressive.
Joe, so, I want you to be right. Yeah. You know I do. Want you to be right. Yeah. I got to see it to believe it.
Yeah.
Agree?
I totally agree because – yeah, Hassan Reddick, I don't know, especially with everything that was going on with the losing of the money and the holding out and wanting the contract, it kind of spits into the face of we want our type of guy here in this locker room. It's not to say that Reddick is a bad dude, but they really believe they don't want to interrupt this chemistry that they have. That's one where, hey, you want to be a rental player? No, I want a long contract. Okay, thanks. That's how I feel like that phone call went.
Okay, thanks. I'm fine. I'm fine if they do it, but you're right. That whole, like, Campbell was asked about it by the morning show, and he was like, well, it would take a long time for me to explain if we get into the human stuff and, like, the type of person we want here and how we operate, what we do. And it's like, is Hassan Reddick that guy? I mean, mind you, Hassan Reddick, once he, you know, he will be on his fifth team in 4 years. He was with Arizona. Then he was with Carolina. Then he was with Philly. Then he's been with the Jets. Now, without playing it down for the Jets, he'll be somewhere else. At a certain point, that becomes who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the kid who keeps transferring from school, right, yeah. High school to high school to high school to college to college to college. After a while, it ain't the coach.
It's you.
It's no politics involved. It wasn't the coach's kid had to play ahead of me.
Right.
It may be the guy that stands in the mirror in front of you, son. And I look with this Hassan Reddick thing. Yeah, I listen to a lot of what the coaches and the GMs say when they come on our various shows. And if you really pay attention, they tell you what they're going to do without actually telling you. But you just have to believe, because the one thing that the Lions have been is not coach speak. They've actually kind of told you the truth. We're just so jaded. We don't believe whenever a GM says something or a coach says something. Oh, you know, they're lying. Lions kind of been truthful the whole time.
John, 97.1. Johnny, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
So, I like the the Aleem deal. I feel like just trying to get ahead of the market is always a good idea. And to go back to a statement you made earlier, what if the Lions go and they beat Minnesota, they beat Tennessee, and they beat Green Bay? We win three of the next three games.
That sounds awesome.
Or even lose a close one. Does that restore the confidence in the team as being a Super Bowl contender, or do you still think we're screwed?
I mean, John, look, they're going to be good. You understand why I find this particular injury this devastating is because it's in concert with losing Davenport, who started the year really good. There are very few teams in football that can lose both starting defensive ends. And yes, it would be awesome if they go on a crazy run. But I guess my thing back to you is fourth quarter, you're up three and, you know, you're in the NFC championship game and you're in Lambeau and you need to put a stop to a drive. Are you confident without Hutchinson you're doing that? Because that's where it all ends up for me.
I hear what you're saying.
But I love where your head is at. I want to talk to you in 3 weeks after they're 3-0. Yes, John, give me more of that. That sounds amazing. I don't know. My answer is I don't know. And I apologize if that's like wishy-washy, John. When guys like this get hurt, you often don't feel the totality of it right away. But your life is going to be different here, Johnny. Like Aaron Glenn is going to have to do some different things. And yes, once Melifonwu's back, they'll use him like a heat-seeking missile. Brian Branch can supplement some of it, but eventually it's the Jimmys and the Joes.
Right.
Your four has to be better than their five. That's it. That's the secret to what Rico's team has done for years. It's not that D'Amico Ryans or Robert Saleh or any of these guys are geniuses. It's that San Francisco's four are better than your five or six, and they drop seven, and they end your life.
Yeah, because if you bring Branch, you better get home, because that's one less person right. You got back there that if there's a catch, it could be taken all the way to the house.
Especially with a young secondary. And mind you, you're sitting here right now, Rico, think about the wear and tear of not only, it is the better part of 3 months of football to get back to the point of playing for the right to go to a Super Bowl. They cannot afford any more defensive injuries. Mm-mm. You can't. Like this is what I laugh at, is the same fans who want to pimp the win at Dallas are the same ones who won't acknowledge that Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence didn't play. Mm-hmm. Do you know what those two are? They're starting edges. Mm-hmm. That's what their defense looks like without them. Yeah.
Or it's funny because the same fans also won't acknowledge the fact that you lost to the Bucs this year. And it's like, in their mind, that didn't happen. That was a fluke. Don't worry about it. It'll never happen again. Like, that's a playoff team. Like, and you needed every – like, it was a close game. You had Aiden there. He made a lot of big moves. He's not going to be there. You're going to be going up against tougher opponents on the road. If you're 3-0 – man, consider yourself fortunate and blessed that you did that. And this is where Holmes will take the victory lap and say, guys, I told you, didn't need to make a move. We got this.
You know, and looking at the Reddick stuff, David, because Rico brought him up first. Think about this, is what kind of bleep hole do you got to be? You get 12 and a half sacks. Arizona finally uses your right and moves you to the outside. He gets 12 and a half. The next year he's in Carolina. He gets 11. The next year he's in Philly, 16, then 11. Philly rewards 27 sacks in 2 years by shipping your ass out of town because they'd rather have Bryce Huff from the Jets. Then you go to the Jets and you don't play a down. You incur $5 million in fines. Your agent fires you. Guys who go 12 and a half, 11, 16, and 11 generally don't have a hard time finding a dance partner. Mm-mm. That does make me question who he is.
Yeah. They're normally locked up for a long time.
Correct.
Their last name is Bosa or Garrett or something like that. Yes.
All right. And also on the Reddick thing, there's a two-way street here of communication where Drew Rosenhaus, and this has been reported, it's not just, well, the Lions have been in communication. Rosenhaus has canvassed the whole league. Reddick is a guy whose agents fired him. So the new agent is trying to now call teams and be like, no. Listen, we're starting fresh. He's not a bad guy. You know, could it have been Rosenhaus reaching out to the Lions and not the other way around? Very possibly. So just, I'm not against it. If you're asking me, would I take Hassan Reddick or another practice squad scrub? No. Victory Rico. We take Hassan Reddick. Also, shout out Temple Football. But yes, I do question 27 sacks your last 2 years in Philly, and they chose Bryce Huff over you. Then the Jets didn't give you a contract. They didn't think enough of you to pay you when they're handing out money to everybody. And now you're jobless, you're down $5 million, and there's no clear landing path.
Mm-hmm.
And are the Lions the team to give you that contract?
Yeah, you almost start to look like the defensive version of Amari Cooper.
Uh-oh. Where
you got a lot of skill, but for some reason, you just don't stick with a team.
But yes, I would absolutely do it, because I'll tell you this, if you don't, someone in your division might. And I know people here don't want to hear this because they're still in euphoria stage. This is the best division in football. The Packers are good. The Vikings are shockingly good. And guys, I know. Hear me out. I'm not doing what the national media is doing. The Bears are good.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't beat the Bears. Jared Goff has more turnovers against the Chicago Bears than anything. I mean, just you imagine if Hassan Reddick lands in this division? Give Brian Flores another toy in Minnesota to go opposite Van Ginkle?
What you don't want to see.
Right. So to Rico's point, something's better than nothing. Maybe Reddick is the answer, but the Aleem McNeil contract is interesting, to say the least. Let's go to the people. We'll go to Susan, 97.1. Susan, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys doing? Hey, Rico.
Hey,
it's Susan.
Oh, hey.
I know, right? It's been a minute. I just wanted to call the Reddick thing. I don't know. Everybody has a different perspective about it. He's got to fit into our culture. However, there's something about Brad and Dan that sometimes can maybe cool people down, change their mentality, maybe change, you know, loop them in to fit our culture to where maybe they didn't fit somewhere else because the coach, you know, didn't know how to coach them correctly. You know, something like that. Who knows? I do know I'm heartbroken over Hutch. Who isn't? But I also do know I am not giving up on these Lions at all this year. Not at all. I think that whatever we do, they're going to play with that much more heart because Hutch isn't there. I feel like we can win these tough games and do what we need to do. We've got to go to Minnesota this Sunday. We have to win on Sunday. Have to. But as you were just saying, our division is absolutely the toughest. Green Bay, Chicago, Minnesota, they are all scary, and we all have to play each other twice. So whoever's going to win the gamut of all of that going on right there is going to come out on top.
Yeah, and to your point, Susan, I mean, it's a little early to say must win, but you're right. The Vikings would move to 6-0, and you'd be 4-2. You would effectively be three games out of first place. Yes, you're right.
Right.
And you would have to make sure you win that final game of the season against Minnesota just to get the split from them. So,
yeah.
No. Appreciate the call, Susan. Tell Chad I said, hey, her husband. No. I worked with her husband at Fox 2.
Is that what they call it? Inappropriate, and I didn't even hit that button.
Nope.
No. You did not see me.
No. I didn't say nope to you. I said nope. Just a general nope.
The man of God did that.
Well.
Isn't that a disgrace?
And with that shirt on, too.
What do you got on today? What is that? The God begotten thing? No?
No.
Is that Jesus is my homie? What's it say on that shirt?
His names of God.
All the different names of God, and one of them just should be heathen.
Well.
Wow. Let's go to Alex. So many questions after that call, but we'll leave it alone. Alex, how are you?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Just really quick. So this might be just my own way of rationalizing the Hutchinson injury and, you know, going after someone. But do you guys remember what Dan Campbell said in the locker room after the NFC Championship game?
What? Let it sting? You know, it should hurt.
It's not promised next year to get back here.
Exactly. You know, you pretty much told the team we might not be here again. So for my own sanity, I have to believe that he understands how important this season is. And obviously Brad Holmes, he has to understand too. So up until the trade deadline hits, you know, if we get Reddick, that's great. I'd obviously much rather have Myles Garrett or Max Crosby. But until we see some of those big names actually move, maybe they just want to see how the Minnesota game goes. Maybe we have to get lit up by Darnold for it to really kick in. And, you know, of course, I don't want that to happen.
No.
But the people in that building, they understand how important this season is. So I can't believe that they're not going to at least try. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And again, that's what I want, Alex. No one is giving up on the team, but it's like, am I supposed to lie to my listeners and say that arguably your best football player is gone for the year and that everything's still the same? No. The only more devastating injury you could have incurred would be Jared Goff. And it's like,
of course not.
There's just no way I'm able to go on the air with, you know, sunshine and rainbows. Yes, they need to replace him. They need to find 60% of him, 70% of him. And I think you're right. I think, Alex, what happens, you're right, is if they go out and look bad the next couple of weeks, oh, watch. Now everyone will be on the train of, you know, we probably should make a trade. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to see it happen. But if it spurs the organization to do what they need to do, you almost kind of want it. Now, the problem is, look, Susan called up Alex. She's right. You can't lose this weekend to the Vikes. If they're 6-0 and you're 4-2, you're effectively 3 out. And that's a distinct problem. You need games at home. Mm-hmm. So it is, it's kind of a double-edged sword this weekend. Like, you, maybe they can find some voodoo for a week. Maybe they can find their Bo Brisky, Alex. But eventually it's a lot like the Tigers. You're just going to get exposed.
Right. Now, the problem is with no Hutch, you're going up against, in this division, the point differential, all four teams lead the NFL, which means not only can the Lions score a lot of points, so can the Vikings.
Here's my question. With Hutch out, do you still consider them the favorite to win the division?
I don't.
You don't. David, do you?
No, I don't.
Negative. Kenny, do you?
The definitive favorite? No, I don't.
Hater. All right, good. That's nice. Good. Little tour around the room.
Yeah, but I just know, like, you know, Lions fans, well, we score a ton of points. Take a look at it. Minnesota, Green Bay, Chicago, and Detroit. They're the top four teams in the NFL.
Rico, I don't want to bring reality to this, but you played a Seattle team missing five of their front six in the nickel, and you played a Dallas team missing Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence, and they openly quit. I would hesitate from saying that this is the new norm.
Yeah.
Yes, your offense is really good. Yes, we talked about it. So did Dan Campbell. Hit the bye week, get it rolling. Your offense is going to have to carry the day. But if it's going to take that to get where you're going to go, like, who's a team who only had a great offense carry him into a Super Bowl? You still, like, the Chiefs have still needed their defense to be the secret to the sauce.
Yeah, I think people forget about that. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I mean, look, we're going to be talking about it. I'm encouraged if they've been in touch on Reddit.
Patriots had defense. Yeah, teams
they
had
all defense. Do. All right, let's check in on a little football. We on college? Let's go college with this one. 97-1. Let's hit it. So, I love that music.
Yeah, it's okay.
Hey, listen, it was from a day when the sport was actually good. What's up?
So we are going into week eight. Wow, can't believe it. Week eight of the college football season. So let's check in on some Heisman.
Ashton Genty, lock it up.
Well, we'll get to him in a second.
Come on.
Because what I want to do here is we're going to go through some tiers.
All right.
We got four of them. So let's start with tier four, which is guys that you want to keep an eye on in this race. And let's start with Curtis Rourke, quarterback, Indiana. He has a very important game this weekend. We all know the numbers that they have.
Quarterback at Indiana is never winning a Heisman. If Antoine Randall couldn't do it. Now, I love the Maple Leaf Missile, and I love my man Cignetti. But, David.
This is just keeping an eye on guys.
He's going to win the John Cougar Mellencamp Award.
Tier four.
Best player in the state of Indiana.
He would have to. They play Ohio State, right?
They play Nebraska this weekend.
No, but I'm saying their signature game, I think, is Ohio State. And
yes.
In order for that to happen, David, no smarm here. At least 12 touchdowns between Michigan and Ohio State. He would have to throw for over 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns to just get a seat in New York.
Well, this is just guys keeping an eye on. Okay?
He's a really
He's
good
far
player.
Away,
right.
But
okay.
We'll see.
I'm just saying, he would have to just put gasoline on the field and burn his initials in there.
Okay, well then let's go to the next guy
okay.
here. Will Howard. Yes, I understand what he looked like against Oregon, but here's
you
what he has.
You sit down and pop a squat on the field and because you're an idiot and you cost your team a game, I can tell you one particular Heisman voter who won't be voting for you.
I understand that.
Me.
But here's what he has left. Number 3, Penn State, number 16, Indiana, and number 24, Michigan on the schedule.
David, let me put it like this, at least for me. I can't speak for Mike over here. I look at what you do in the big games. The lasting memory I have, he slid. He didn't realize how much time was left. And even when it was a 12-man on the field controversy, you had a timeout in your back pocket. Just call the timeout and let Ryan Day yell at you. Why'd you call timeout, son? Clock was ticking, sir.
Will Howard's brain. So, I can't believe what I watched. Still.
Unreal.
So, no. You play big and big. That's why I said, you know, the Indiana quarterback has a better chance than Will Howard right now because he still has big games ahead of him.
He's got a cool nickname, the Maple Leaf Missile.
Yeah, you can't get that slide out of your head. Let's move over to the next tier then. These are guys that are on the radar. Three guys.
He's going to say Drew Aller.
Three guys that are on the radar. Jeremiah Smith.
Okay.
Jackson Dart. And well, Rico said the other guy.
All right,
I knew it. I knew he was going to say Drew Aller.
Okay, first of all, Jackson Dart, get out. You're gone. Two losses before the leaves turn. You're done. Out. He was dreadful against Kentucky. Done.
Yeah.
I'll let him speak on Drew Aller. I'm way too biased. I don't think Penn State's any good, but this is Rico's purview with Aller. Leave me out of it.
No, I'm the same. David, Drew Aller is okay. He does just enough. He's not great. If you're a Heisman Trophy candidate, you got to do something great. He does a lot of good things. He's a safe quarterback. He really is. But as far as if you had one guy that leads you down the field with 45 seconds to go, that's not him. He's not even in the top 20, in my opinion. So, and as far as Jeremiah Smith, he would have to return kickoffs and punts as well as being just a wide receiver. History is great catches, but so does the guy in Alabama.
Ryan Williams?
Yeah, so does Ryan Williams.
Tier two, which would be top contenders, not the contenders, but some guys that are right behind them.
Okay.
Jalen Milroe, Cade Klubnik, Travis Hunter is in this category, Carson Beck, and Garrett Nussmeier.
All right, let me. I'll hit two of these. Just the two right up front. This weekend is everything. Milroe goes into Rocky Top. Carson Beck goes into UT. You know, you put a virtuoso performance up, you're back on the map. I think that that's fair. Hunter, I know they're saying out of Colorado they do expect him to play, but they have to win games, and he's got to make, as Rico said, the iconic plays. We all know Travis Hunter's greatness. He's amazing. But if that doesn't result in pick sixes and touchdowns on offense, what am I grading? You're so good no one throws at you? Remember, Woodson won it because he made the iconic plays.
Yeah, so I would say the same in, what was it, Cade Klubnik.
And then Garrett Nussmeier's also on there.
They better watch out. They're on alert this weekend in Piggy Land.
Arkansas, yes.
Yeah, they're on the road at Arkansas. Letdown spot. Good old Sammy Pittman will be seven beers deep.
See, I think Klubnik probably it'll come down to the ACC championship game. And at that point, he would get the last minute Heisman voters. Or is the, yeah, I think the vote, yeah, the votes due that Sunday. So, yes.
You guys think Beck might be a tier too high? I think he might be a tier too high.
I do too.
And I hate saying it, obviously, but I think he's made some poor decisions.
459 last week. If he goes for the better part of 400 yards this week at Texas, remember, this whole thing is super volatile. The idiots who vote for the Heisman, they're only going to look at box. A lot of these people don't even watch football.
I'm right here.
No, we are not idiots.
I'm right here.
But you tell me, fellas, if he goes to UT and lights up Texas, It's going to be who's the numbnuts from Texas? We're back. It'll be him wearing a golden cowboy hat.
I guess my point is he needs that signature performance in order to elevate himself.
He does. 100%.
But it is fluid because, David, if you 2 weeks ago, Milroe looked like he was the guy. After the Georgia game, it was his. That was his trophy with his name on it. And then, oops, Vandy hat.
He's disqualified. You lose to Vanderbilt, you're disqualified.
He's off the list. No more. Off the ballot. So the last three are the favorites, and I think we all know who they are. Just rank them in your mind. Genty, Donovan? Ward, Gabriel.
Oh.
Dono. No.
Washtenaw County Heisman. It's Genty for me because they're also not abusing him. You know, there's plenty of games. He's only playing the first half. He's giving you 13 for 180. I he showed out against Oregon on the road. They should have won that game. I think for Genty to win, he's got to cross 2,000 yards, minimum. And he's got to cross 25 touchdowns. You do that, he's best player in America to me.
You said Genty, Gabriel, and
Ward, Cam Ward.
They're on upset alert this weekend.
I think that
at Louisville,
Genty may end up getting this thing only because he'll be the safest pick. Dylan Gabriel, you already knocked off Ohio State. If you do that again and you go on the road, you cross the Mississippi River, you play Michigan, and you have a big game nationally, that could possibly put him ahead only because I think for a lot of Heisman voters, a Power Four school gets more cred than Boise State.
By the way, Genty, just a fun fact, and I don't think he'll keep it up, he's averaging 10 yards a carry.
I know.
126 carries for 1,250 yards and 17 touchdowns.
10 yards, last I heard, that's pretty good, right?
Maybe.
But here's the key.
But think about only 126 carries in the first 8 weeks of the season.
You know why? Because they're blowing teams out. He doesn't play in the second half.
The key is they're not. You can't be a voter and then say, oh, it's just, you know, the numbers are weak because he's just playing against weak. But he's not playing in the fourth quarter.
See, David, that's where it's going to hurt him because much like the AP poll, The Heisman voters, none of them are smart. They're not. They just kind of see what everybody else is voting for, and that's what they're doing.
So they didn't stay up and watch Hawaii, that matchup, and watch him? Because I did.
Have you seen some of the people who made it to New York? Have you seen some people who've won in New York? It tells you, wow, if you have enough PR in December, you could catapult somebody to sit in New York.
Ask Wojo. He knows all about it.
And that is your College Football Blitz.